Welcome to Waiting for Review, the radio show bringing you the hottest smooth rock of the 80s and the 90s and the noughties. Yeah, if I get really close to the microphone, I sound like a radio moderator.
You do indeed. But loving that. What have we got? What would you be spinning up on the decks, Daniel, were you to be that radio journalist?
The thing is, I did listen to a lot of rock and metal music in the 2000s, but these days I'm way more into mostly like EDM and stuff like that. So if you put me into a radio studio today, I would probably play, like, start with like some Justice. And then I would have to mix in like some weird stuff I found on TikTok, because that's just how I roll these days.
Yeah. What would Daniel of yesteryear play though?
Disturbed, I think.
Ooh, ha-ka-ka-ka.
Disturbed. Yeah. Then also, what did I listen to a lot? Soulfly.
Yeah.
Brazilian metal band.
Yeah. I used to love those as well.
And I listened to a lot of Subway to Sally, which is a German medieval metal band. I don't know if they're known.
I've heard the name.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well.
And before that, I used to listen to Blind Guardian, and before that, when I was like, before I had puberty, I was exclusively into the Pet Shop Boys and a German band called Pure, or Pur.
Okay. I have not heard.
Which is incredibly cringe.
Okay. I'm going to have to check those out after the show and see how cringe they are. I mean, Pet Shop Boys, I would argue, not so cringe in some
You know
ways.
How... I spent the last few days in an apartment that had a lot of like the German equivalent of these live, laugh, love stickers and lots of calendars that had like very deep sentences on them and stuff like that. Like my favorite was, I hit my microphone, sorry. My favorite was, sometimes when you go slow, you travel the same distance. And then the attribution was not a person or something. It just says, from England.
yes.
English proverb.
That's the English proverb. It's an idiom I try to live by, old chap. Absolutely. Yeah. But this is not
this
the idiom
show.
This show
is also sponsored by Mimi.
Oh, hang on.
This show is sponsored by Mimi.
For listeners, Daniel is putting Mimi the cat to the microphone.
I have returned about an hour ago back to my home, and so the cats are still very cuddly.
Oh, lovely. And I was hoping we might get to hear her little purrs, but I think she just wants to sleep near you, looking at that.
I think she does.
But where have you been?
We need to do the intro first, and then I can tell you where I've been. Hey, welcome to 98.3 Waiting for Review, a show about the majestic indie developer lifestyle. Join our scintillating hosts, Dave and Daniel, and let's hear about a tiny slice of their thrilling lives. Join us while waiting for review.
Hey.
Anyway, I have been to the south, the very south of Bavaria, where Germany ends. And so there's the Alps, the mountains, and there's like various mountains from which you can actually see Switzerland and Austria and Italy and Liechtenstein. 1, 2, 3, 4, and a fifth one. What's the fifth one? Probably Germany. And so yeah, that was pretty nice. And I was, going on a hike and it was very pretty and there was cows. And it was like there was a lot of very, very, I don't know, like stunning vistas, really. I sent you one picture.
You did, yeah.
But it really doesn't do it justice, you know. Like just the I'm, I think, like people are, like it says like people are either mountain guys or mountain people or sea people. And if I have to decide between mountains and the sea, I think I want to go mountains because mountains are just nice to look at.
Oh,
I mean,
what?
Nothing against the sea, you know, but like, yeah, I don't know.
Go Team C on my side. They're
rocky. They're rocky, and you can like walk among them. You can even take a bike and then just like ride it up there, and then like ride it down there, down the mountain really fast. Like you can't do that with the sea.
I guess not. But oh well, I am totally a sea guy, Daniel. That's part of the reason we moved to where we did in Wellington.
I mean, you get both, right? That's like even better.
Yeah. Yeah, where I'm living now is it's not quite mountainous, but we are surrounded by sort of very tall hills that are starting to border on that. So that's cool. And then, yes, the sea's an easy reach. So that sort of was part of the reason for coming out this way. But
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, your picture looked really good, though, Daniel. I saw the backdrop, the vista in the background for listeners, viewers even of the show, it looked almost painted to me. So yeah. Daniel, I am obliging you to post this picture somewhere we can link it.
I'm gonna do that while I talk. I'm just gonna leave the Photos app open for now, tell you some more, and then when you are talking, then I can just drop it on the Mastodon or something. Anyway, so they not only have sun there and nice mountains or hills, they also have like really crunchy grass, and the cows that eat that really crunchy grass, and they're so cute. Like I didn't realize that cows would be cute, but these cows were like seriously cute.
Oh,
and that was really, really nice. They're like cows from that area are actually said to be like looking slightly different and of course way prettier and whatever than other cows. And I mean, I kind of see it. I kind of see it, actually. Yeah. I guess I got to post a cow picture as well.
I think so. I think seeing's got to be believing there for me.
Yeah. But that's fine. I can do both of that. The cows, they have this really neat trick where they give milk. And then the people from the Allgäu, the area where I've been to, what they do is they make cheese out of that, and like really, really good cheese.
You've got to tell me all about the thing you were nearly telling me about before at the pre show.
Then you stop me and we're like, yeah, tell me about that on the show.
Yeah, because I'm just taken aback.
Yeah. So, like that region is kind of famous for its cheese, right? So, both from the Swiss side, but also from the German side, and also from the Austrian side, of course. Like you've heard of Swiss cheese, that's basically where that comes from, right? Yeah. We bought so much cheese because a lot of the time the cheesemonger shops they will have. Like opening hours that are not super long, because like I don't know, like you don't have so many customers that like you can open the shop for ages, right? And so what they will do is they will have usually a cheese vending machine.
That's the thing that really surprised me. I'm like, what? A vending machine I can go to any time of the day and get high quality cheese?
Yeah. Yeah, and so you go there and just like hold your watch or your credit card in front of the thing, and then you press the number, and then cheese comes out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to post this to the Mastodons, and then I'm going to send the link to you and also to our listeners via this wonderful medium called the show notes.
Yes.
Only downside is I have not enough mental capacity to add alt text while I'm talking. So I'm just gonna post it now and add all text later, and hopefully the Mastodon gods will show mercy. How do I share this? I went to the this is great content for an audio podcast to be talking about a picture. Okay, hey. This says open link to post, and then copy that link and then go to the public show notes or the show notes that I'm sharing with you. and then paste the thing in there, and then you should be able to click it and see the things that I've been talking about. Anyway, follow me on daniel@social.telemetry.deck.net to also see cheese pictures. So I kind of went a bit overboard and was like, I want that one, but also I want that one, and also I want that one. And so I think that's about a kilogram to 1.5 kilos of cheese you see on that picture in the end.
Damn. Well, I've been desperately trying to think of how to make a cheesy joke while we've been talking here, Daniel. As you know. but everything I came up with had too many holes in it. So...
Damn, I'm so sorry. Like, I know that these dad jokes, they only really work if you stay as serious as possible during them. But, oh, you caught me off guard.
And I think it's high time for us to get into the tech, Daniel, before I make any more dad jokes. But yeah.
The thing is, because these nice vistas and everything, and the cows and everything, like the hills really were alive with the sound of mooing.
Dude. Shots fired. Well, now that we have alienated our listeners, viewers with dad jokes. Sorry about that, people.
Not sorry.
You sound like, yeah, I know me either, really, to be fair. How have things been going technically? What have you been up to lately? Like, it sounds like you've rejuvenated from that visit.
Yeah, so the last few episodes I talked about, I want to find someone who is an expert at online content marketing, by which I mean, like, what stuff do I put on my website?
Yep.
And I think I found someone.
Hey, excellent.
His name is Andreas. He's a German and he's actually from Augsburg. Mm-hmm. So we can, in fact, meet him every now and then in well-ventilated spaces for in person, which is very helpful. And yeah, he has been doing various workshops with us about the contents of the Telemetry Deck website. And I think the main two things I've already taken away from that is, one, we've been creating a lot of very, very long form articles and blog posts and other types of content. Whereas his recommendation is like, well, don't just make a separate subpage for everything and just like have a little bit of content, because that, is better for Googling, but also like better for just like not completely burying your visitors when they come and just want to have like one piece of information, and you give them a whole array of just make these very tiny, very cute little articles. And that's the one.
Right.
That's the one takeaway that I had. And the other takeaway is that I can't write marketing copy worth poo. Because every time, like even under direct instruction, when he says like, okay, be very bombastic and just make an incredible claim that you can't really support, but you really would like people to believe about Telemetry Deck. Even then I'm like, this used correctly might be able to improve your apps somewhat.
Okay. So do you also need a copywriting person at this point? Is that this person as well, or
I'm going to get there. I'm going to, like, he's actually also that person, but I'm also going to get there, I think. I just need to like work my way up to it.
Right. So we need to practice your bombasticness.
Yeah, it's gonna be fine at some point, but yeah. Other than that, we've been talking about that we need a few more types of content, like content blocks. So we have a CMS for the website that's called Sanity, which is good because I really need some sanity in my life. And that is a headless CMS, so it isn't attached to any specific output like WordPress would be. And then there's a process that takes that uses Eleventy, a static site builder, takes the sanity data, also adds the documentation, which is just files, and also will add some other like some other tidbits like avatars from GitHub and stuff like that, and then just build the site out of that. And that works very well, but we needed a few more things. And so now I am working on being able to add tables to that page. Like, so I can just like basically WYSIWYG. Do people say WYSIWYG? They don't like, but like, you, I can
I don't
just
think
like
they do. I know what you mean.
Create a table by just dragging it open like you would in a, you know, software that isn't text-based. And also I've been like, I don't know, like lots of little small tweaks because I usually don't touch the website. And so by the time I go to the website, like a lot of like little items have just like collected. And so I'm just like working through them. I have like updated the sitemap generation code. I have updated the display code that or the display layout code where previously the articles on telemetrydeck.com would probably use the full width of the screen, or at least a very large part of the width of the screen. And now I'm going to go for a more narrow band approach. And then I'm going to be able to have individual like parts or items just escape from the narrow band. So what you could can imagine is like just text that is readable width. So like I want to say 80 to 90 characters. And then comes a graph and the or a chart and even and the chart just escapes that is the whole screen width and it looks kind of neat. That's going to land soon on the Telemetry Deck page.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of those posts. Before we started the show, you showed me a bit of a preview of what that's looking like. And I want to say, yeah, it's pretty slick. And
top secret.
I know. I feel very privileged. Oh, that's awesome, dude. And yeah, it's nice that you're kind of getting back into some of those bits of the code. I can imagine, like you say, you hit down in all of the guts of the data and that side of stuff for Telemetry Deck, and these website tasks sort of probably build up outside of that. So
yeah, and I'm also starting to delegate, which is really nice.
Ooh.
I'm starting to lean a bit more on the freelancers that I have available.
Yeah.
And I'm probably being very annoying because I'm very peculiar with how things are done and that they're done properly and whatever. But at the same time, I'm so unreachable these days.
Yeah.
But luckily with one of them whom I've known for years actually, we've kind of found a way where like he's just working a few hours per week for us, and he will just like do like he will just whenever he needs the thing or gets the thing that he needs from me, then a few days later he will then work on the thing, and he has lots of other stuff to do, so that's fine. But he's working on lots of the bit of the documentation, but also on the SDKs and unifying them a bit more, because the Swift SDK says telemetry manager.send to send a signal. The Kotlin SDK says telemetry deck.signal. The Flutter SDK is telemetry.queue, I think.
Okay.
And so on. And so that is a bit frustrating. And so what he's working on is the grand renaming project where like everything is just called a signal. And the verb for it is also signal. The signal has parameters. It doesn't have a payload. It doesn't have, I don't know, dimensions. It just has parameters.
Okay.
And the package is always called telemetry deck, not telemetry manager or telemetry or whatever.
Awesome. That sounds like very necessary work in the course of time. Like you want everything to be as unified as possible. You know, if you've done it on one, it's the same on the other, sort of thing.
So, yeah, and yeah. I probably would have waited a bit more for that. But that's the thing. Like Jihad, my freelancer, is incredibly motivated to improve Telemetry Deck because he is using Telemetry Deck in his own projects.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, of course, that he's feeling all the pain that all our other customers are feeling, that I'm also feeling, but I'm super busy, right? And so I've kind of... me and him, we've come to the conclusion that it's really, really actually very helpful to just let him run with yep. what exactly he wants to work on.
That's cool. So that means all of us then get those quality of life improvements off the back of it.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's nice.
Well, I went through, I'm preparing for my app release and kind of related. I went through all of the signal hooks inside of GoVJ last weekend just to make sure that I'm recording what I want to record
mm-hmm.
In my customer flows and various different flows of the app. Pretty light touch. I've not got signals out of the wazoo, as it were. I've just got them in very specific places. Yeah, it's all systems go. All systems go.
Fantastic.
On Yeah.
Do you have a release date yet?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that, putting me on the spot.
Which is, if you don't, it's fine, right? I mean, you don't need one.
I kind of do and I kind of don't. I was hoping for not this weekend. And as we speak, we're right at the beginning of May. So it's actually...
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May. So we're at the beginning of May. I'm expecting within the next couple of weeks, but I've been saying that now for a couple of weeks, so I need to tie it up.
Which, I mean, fine, right?
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely fine. But as we were saying on the last episode, I had a bit of illness last month. That's definitely slowed me down a bit. But also...
I had also a bit of illness.
Did. We were poorly boys.
we also, like, if you listen to this and you were wondering, why don't I see episodes as regularly in my podcatcher anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the reason. We've kind of been busy and ill.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, all of that to one side. I ran through my test plan a couple of nights ago. Mm-hmm. And I have a few things that I definitely want to fix before I get it out of the door. So I found my test plan works. I've found some bugs, so that's better than shipping them. But obviously, I want to go back and fix these things.
Right.
And it's a fine line, right? Because at this stage, it has to be a bug. It has to be a showstopper. If it's just I hit this bit of an edge and I've now got an idea for a quality of life improvement or a feature even, I'm trying to backlog it. So that I'm not just sort of going off down rabbit holes with all of this, but there's enough there to keep me going. So that's this weekend is try and roast, kill, fry all of those bugs. anyway, if I think about the...
Is the roast, kill, fry, is that like what you do with bugs instead of like kiss, marry, kill?
Oh, I'm now thinking... Like, yeah, no. Apologies, you've sent me down an absolute mental rabbit hole there, Daniel, of imagining actually roasting and killing and frying bugs, which is terrible.
Tasty, though.
I would not know, but all of this is normal.
Derailing the show as a service.
Absolutely, yes, yes. forget... Anything on rails, this is off rails. But you've lost me now, Daniel. You've really lost me.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It's fine. So, where was I? Bugs. Not frying.
Bugs. You were going through the bugs and probably fixing most of them.
Trying to. And there's nothing too gnarly, actually. So... Hopefully this will be soon, but if I think about all the stuff that I need for releasing the app, this is the stage where A, I find out about all the bugs because I go through and do some in-depth testing, and I've caught mm-hmm. bugs along the way, of course, and I've been testing along the way, but this is the last test before it's in front of everybody. So there's that. And then also on my list is all of the marketing materials, much like you were talking about earlier. You know, I'm in that stage of like, do I make a blog post? Do I make a this? Do I make a that? And I've completed getting my screenshots together, as we spoke about on the last show. So that's there. So it's really is the home stretch. You know, I'm not adding loads and loads of new features to this. I'm kind of doing the opposite. And I'm excited. Like, it's sort of been all over the place now for months, and I feel like we've been talking about this big grand rebuild since the start of the year. Nearly there. Very, very nearly there.
Fantastic. So do you have like a sort of marketing plan? Like, you have the materials. Do you know like where to post them and stuff like that?
Yeah. I know exactly where I'm going to post these now. So one of the things I've done in the last couple of months or so is I've made an effort to sort of reconnect with Facebook, because mm-hmm. that's where a lot of the visualist and VJ community is, as are a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And you know my feelings about Meta and Facebook and all of that. So
I caught a glimpse, I think.
Yeah. So I hold my nose, and this is the price of communicating with you know, customers, but also, you know, people who are using.
I mean, the thing
app,
is, ever since, you know, Elon took over Twitter, it's not the worst. Like, Facebook is not the worst social network anymore. So that's something.
That is something. It feels slight. I mean, it's just fortunate for me that the community I want to connect with has never really been on Twitter in the same way as Facebook, because I think that would have been a dead end for me. I really don't want to post there anymore. But so Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
I saw your TikTok account. That is so cool. That is awesome.
Yeah, so I'm trying to post like bits from the app to places like that. That is the plan, is to sort of show it in action. I've spoken before about this, but I think one of the things I'm going to do is a bit of a post-launch marketing thing, as well as I'm going to do little short videos on specific things that the app can do, or how to do specific things in the app. And that will then double up not only as like documentation and a user guide sort of piece, which can sort of live in perpetuity on YouTube or wherever, but it will also double up as shorts for Instagram, TikTok, pushing it back onto Facebook. Yeah. So all of those things, but I'm trying to lead with the plan is to, ahead of releasing the app, post a bunch of things in the week ahead of that. So assume I clear the bugs this weekend and I line stuff up with a build, I will probably wait. You know, I might submit it to the App Store next week, but actually I'm targeting releasing the week later so that I've then got an opportunity to put posts out on these platforms and to actually go, okay, it's coming this weekend, etc., etc.
Are you going to do like stuff like, I don't know, Product Hunt or whatever?
Nah, probably not, to be honest. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Okay. I mean, just asking. Also, I wanted to say Product Hunt because, I don't know.
Yeah, fair. So Product Hunt, I'm not touching at all. Okay. But that's largely because I don't think visualists and VJs are hanging out on Product Hunt waiting for me to post about this. So Reddit, on the other hand, yes, I shall be posting there. That's part of all this. Ugh. Yeah,
I mean, I should probably be like proper active on Reddit. But I don't know, like I was at a time, but then I kind of needed to stop because it was just taking too much of my, like, every time I opened a browser, my fingers immediately typed RE enter, like before I even thought about what I wanted to do. So in the end, I don't know, a few years ago, I kind of blocked the site on all my computers using a host file entry. And That was to get away from my Reddit addiction, and it worked. Like, I was no longer addicted to Reddit, and also but then a few years ago, I got back into it a little bit in a more healthy way using Apollo, and now Apollo got shut down, and now I'm just like, ugh, I gotta use this weird ass website.
Yeah, yeah, I don't enjoy their website, to be fair.
And also the content is just like more engagement driven. I don't know, like engagement bait a lot of the time.
It's kind of funny. I've been finding, certainly over this last week, that I'm thinking more and more about moderating how I'm spending my time in that sort of sense with social media in general, right? And I sort of stick Reddit kind of in that bucket. Mm-hmm. Like it's often anti-social media if I look at some of the threads over there, but but it, like you say, it's engagement focused, as is all of the things I've just been mentioning for marketing, right? That's the whole point that why I'm engaging with that, because it is engagement driven. But for me personally, I've realized, like, yeah, this is starting to like suck my time again, whether it's Instagram, Reddit, Mastodon, all of it, like
TikTok.
And so on the one hand, I'll tell you that I'm holding my nose and posting stuff for the app, which is true, right? You know, okay, I don't.
But you
like,
got to do some research, right? I mean,
what are
the current trend and stuff like that, right?
Yes, and then you know, half hour later, I've watched like I don't know dozens of cat orientated content and videos, right? That's got nothing to do with my app, but clearly the algorithms caught me. So, yeah, I think something I'm wondering about, Daniel, you mentioned blocking stuff out in your hosts file years ago for Reddit, but what do you have a process for this at the moment, like for kind of killing the distractions?
I have two different things. So what I sometimes do for various apps that I want to be like think about before I open them, I use the OneSec app. It's an app called OneSec by friend of the show Fred Riedel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna look up a link and put it into the show notes. It is basically a thing like a little app you install on your phone, and like you can, whenever you tap an icon, you can like replace your app icons with like links to OneSec, and then OneSec will open, show your account on that, takes 1 second, and then open your actual app. And that is pretty cool, because it will, this second of thinking, that was usually break the unconscious process of opening an app. And mm-hmm. So for some apps, I will just break the chain using that. Others, like for example TikTok, I do it like that by giving myself a time limit. Like iOS has built-in time limits. They're not only for your kids. You can also give yourself a time limit. So I have a daily TikTok 1 hour time limit. And so when I hit that, it will just put a white sheet over the app and say, oops, your time is up. Mm-hmm. If you push this button, you can have like one more minute to like finish whatever you were doing. Because I'm an adult and I have full control over my phone, I can actually then tap another button, and then I think it's like one or two buttons deep, but I can basically get myself out of there and out of that dialogue and say, yo, I'm just going to ignore that. Give me another hour. Give me just the day off.
And that's the problem, right? Because I've been there.
Yeah.
It
does work for me. It works really well for me. It's like I used to hit that limit very often, and now mm-hmm. I kind of hit it once per week, and then I'm usually like, yeah, you know what? It's actually enough. But you know what that means? It means that you need to join my Apple family account and register as my kid, so that I can, you give me the control. Give me the control. So not, you can't control not. It anymore.
That would break
someone
everything.
Needs to be the adult here.
I was gonna say I'm the family owner on our account. I suspect that would break a whole bunch of stuff if I did that. But more seriously, the problem is exactly that, right? Whenever I've set these things up in the past, like screen time and that side of stuff, like it's useful. Yep, it reminds me for the first few days. I'm like, this will work, right? You know, I've set screen time. I'm rocking. Then I'll find myself a week later going, what on earth am I doing? I've got this muscle memory where I immediately hit the, no, I need more time when I see that, right? And like, so that I think, if I think about it, I perhaps set some of the time limits a bit too aggressively. And maybe I wanted, there's a happy spot where there's a bit more time is the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, the
limit all the time. Like if you do, then it's not helpful, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a line there. And I don't know. I have this flare up every so often, I guess, with all of this in one way or another, right? In terms of falling down the rabbit hole too much with all of these things. And I think this is true of everybody. But I don't know, Daniel, maybe what I actually need to do is set up one of my test devices, because I have a few now, and set one of those up with the offending social media for only the use of posting on for the app. And then maybe I take them off my phone for a while. Maybe that's the ground zero approach for me that'll work.
Maybe, yeah. Like if it's getting bad enough, yeah, probably a good idea. I mean, it's too bad. I could have forced you to call me daddy and everything.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
I don't know. Like it seems to work enough for me most of the time. But the other thing is that if I'm sick or if I had these flares that you have, I would probably allow myself to just like when I'm sick or ill or in bed or just like incapacitated, like just like ignore the limit. Of course, like you're in bed anyway. Like
what else are you gonna do, right?
Why make it harder for you? Like I read a piece an article about advice for people with burnout, and the author was like as when you're in burnout. Like what you're going to do is indulge, like just do the thing, like whatever, like once you are like one step above, like I had a name for the different stages basically. But once you're like reaching, like once you're back to just being super stressed or whatever, then you can worry about the time limits on your TikTok app or whatever. But like, if you're just feeling shitty, like indulge, like what's like, you're feeling shitty anyway. You're not going to be in full control and executive function and like, just like turning your life around in that moment anyway. Like why feel bad about it?
That's probably a good point. I think there's a, and if I think about it, maybe that's the correlation, Daniel. If I think about the last month, maybe that's also why these things have been building up. I've been associating it with am I spending too much time there and not shipping this damn app, right? Which is as a turn of phrase, you can see there I'm kind of shooting myself into everything as well. So I'm my own worst not critic, what's the word, I'm definitely keeping track of what I'm not doing, if you like, and that's perhaps why I get that.
I have read this. I've read this psychology book a few months ago. I've actually read a bunch of psychology books. It was in German, but I'm gonna try to just like live translate the insight that I took from it, which is sometimes we are in a weird sort of parent mode where we try to parent ourselves, but in a negative way. We just like we have this little parent inside of us that is just like criticizing on top, like you should, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And whole third of that book was basically about like identifying that feeling and like trying to work to improve that. Just like take a deep breath, realize that this is happening and that Tell that non-existent figure in your head, you're not my real dad, just like you just wrote into our show notes.
No, you're not, Daniel.
And then I'm glad. And then, yeah, that might already help, you know, and you can work on that.
Yeah, for sure.
What I also wanted to say was, oh yeah, like one thing that I wrote to you earlier, like, you wrote to me before you went to bed because it's your morning. You weren't 100% sure if you were going to make it to the recording. And then I was like, I actually had a talk with my website content guy. Whoa, I don't know. Counselor sounds very serious about that, where I was like, where he was like, yeah, you gotta do the, like, write the content in that way and like go like in, like increase the bombasticness a little bit more, because that's just what you're gonna do to have like a working business, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not fun. And he's like, yeah, but like, you're like, this is not like, if you just want to do fun, then like do a fun thing. What do you do for fun?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I do the podcast and I play Kerbal Space Program, which, by the way, is gonna shut down apparently, which is super sad.
That's very sad. Yeah. I'd seen rumblings of that.
And so yeah, well, I was reminded of the fact that we do this podcast for fun. Like, of course we have a few very like, because we get a bit more famous, I want to say, like, of course that helps us with our careers a little bit, especially me, because my career is very directly correlated to my developer fame, I want to say. But still, like, this is our fun side project. So if it doesn't work to a professional level and is not 100% comparable to the people who make, I don't know, $15,000 of ad revenue per episode, then I think that is very much fine. Like, once we make 15K of ad revenue per episode, like, I'm going to be sitting here every week, you know, like, but if we have to postpone or skip a week, like, I'm trying to be a bit more chill about it too, you know?
I think that's important. And I think there's an element of the framing there that's probably relevant to more than just our situation, right? And it's probably relevant to the sort of indie developer thing as well, is, yeah, you do have to take a step back every now and again and just kind of go, okay, what bucket does this sit in right now? You know, in your circumstance, you get these periods where you're definitely intensely busy with the business, and that's okay, business. Right? That, with the busyness, exactly. And but that's okay. You're starting this thing up, and that's part of the point. Then that, you know, things like this show is obviously an extra around that. But if I think about what's generalizable and what might be useful to anybody listening, is, yeah, think about what slot does this really sit in? And for me, I have to be careful not to always put things in the, it's a side project, it's a this, because if I do that too often, then obviously I never ship anything, right? You know, I have to do something in that regard. But I think it's a good reminder to sort of say, yeah, if it's a fun thing, if it's not yet, you know, the be all and end all of your income or whatever, prioritize accordingly, especially with your health, especially with any burnout-y feelings and all of that, and have fun.
Having fun is very important. Not everything needs to be the hustle and the grind and the engagement culture and whatever.
Yeah.
If you feel the same way, you should really like this video on YouTube
and
rate this podcast on wherever you listen to it. Also, comment down below what you are doing to fight, to combat hustle culture.
To be fair, to be serious, Daniel, you're absolutely derailing me today, which is beautiful and fantastic. But to be fair, and to
derail you even more, like, I am very much low frame rate right now.
You are. I don't know if it's going to come across on the video, but
it is, because that is when my phone overheats. Hang on,
I'm going to
turn off the camera mode and then turn it back on. Because
turn it off and on again.
Because sometimes hasn't done this for a while now. Yeah, we're back. Yeah. Sometimes when I use the magnetic charger to attach it to my screen and then also use it as a camera, like the charging plus the phone, the screen video thingy kind of overheats it, and then it drops into this mode where it just like will just not like it won't get out of it until I just pause it, re-edit.
Fair. Well, you're back to normal frame rate, Daniel, but smooth indeed. I think the thing I was going to shout out and ask folks for, though, is if any of our conversation has triggered any sort of thought, idea, or anything, then please hit us up. Please drop us a comment on the YouTube. Please drop us a message on the Mastodons, or even an email on our email address. Because honestly, I'm interested to hear folks' ideas on how to, A, balance overload from various different pieces of media and that side of things. Because I'm definitely thinking about all of that again. And what's the other thing? And the other thing is, in terms of everything we've spoken about balancing, shooting yourself, getting into this sort of gridlock of like, I need to be hustling and grinding all the time. Again, I'm interested to hear how folks have combated that with regards to their indie development as well. Because I'm definitely thinking about all of these things at the moment. Yeah. So
you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Brilliant. But on that note, we should really tell people where to find us. If you're watching on YouTube, it's dead easy to comment below and all of that jazz. But otherwise, you might want to find us on the socials. So, Daniel, where is that?
My social is daniel@social.telemetrydeck.com. Write me a weird joke if you listen to this. And what about you?
You can find me over on Mastodon at dave@social.lightbeamapps.com.
Fantastic. Also, write us emails at contact@waitingforreview.com. And actually do rate us on iTunes and or YouTube if you really want to help us reach more people with our drivel. And see you soon, Dave.
Yeah, see you soon, Daniel. Take it easy, mate.
You too. Bye.